ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। Hello everybody, last time we saw the two verses 20 and 21, and in 21 he says that Prakriti and Purusha both are beginningless, and we saw why Prakriti is beginningless, because she is the power of the Purusha, of the Supreme Reality. So as long as from wherever Supreme Reality started, means it is beginningless. So that's why we say Prakriti also is beginningless. Prakriti or Maya does have an end. Ignorance, when ignorance ends, what remains is the Supreme Reality. Because if Prakriti also, if we say it does not have an end, then there will be no difference between Prakriti and Purusha. So there is a difference. They are both beginningless, but one has an end, the other one does not. And what we need to know is that whatever modifications that we see are happening, they are happening only in Prakriti, and there is no modification or change happening in the Purusha. And Prakriti here is the same as Kshetra, which Bhagwan described in verses 5 and 6. So basically the body, mind, intellect, ahankar, everything, all these things change. We see the change. And the one who is seeing the change is Purusha, and that Purusha never change. So this was 20. And then in 21, he said that both Purusha and Prakriti are responsible for creation. Just like the wind and water both are required for the creation of a wave, for creation, Purusha also has to be there and Prakriti also has to be there. Purusha does not modify, but in his presence or in the presence of Purusha alone, Prakriti can act. So Purusha by its mere presence enables Prakriti, who is made up of Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, of the gunas, and because of which she becomes modifiable, means she can be modified because she has the gunas. Those gunas modify and give rise to the creation. Now, Purusha Sukha Dukhanam Bhoktrutva Heturuchate. So Purusha is responsible for the experience of Sukha and Dukha. We saw that. Prakriti, see, there is a creation, okay? And as long as I do not relate myself to the creation. And how do I relate? What does it mean by relating? So there is a situation outside. It could be weather, it could be a person, it could be an accident. I think I gave you the example of I'm walking on the street and I see an accident. But if I don't know the driver of the car and I don't know the other driver or the other person who got hit, I'm totally unaffected. But if I see that person getting hit, it's my neighbor or it's my acquaintance, or if it's my friend, or further, if it's my relative, then the degree of involvement is going to go on increasing. So the way I relate to Prakriti, and Prakriti is all the situations, persons, events, happenings, weather, everything is falling under Prakriti. This whole creation is falling under Prakriti. And there's no problem with the creation because it is created by God. There is no problem. But when I set up a relationship of like or dislike, that's when Sukha and Dukha starts. So what happens is I say that I like this particular situation. And then when that situation happens, then I'm happy. So I become sukhi. And then when that situation does not happen, then I become dukhi because I have set up a relationship. So if I break that relationship, then there's this situation, this prakriti cannot have any effect on me. That's why what is saying bhoktrutva, bhoktrutva here is experiencing. So it's not just enjoyment. It's both enjoyment and sorrow, like happiness and sorrow. Both are, because experience is a common term. I either experience happiness or I experience sorrow. So bhoktrutva is experiencing. The experiencer is created if I identify with the situation that is happening outside. And so that's why when something happens to my body, I say, oh, it's happening to me. And now I become dukhi. Or something good might happen and then I become very happy. But in both cases, there is identification. And that's why Vedanta tells us to go beyond sukha and dukha. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labho jaya jaya, Bhagavan has said. So both have to be made equal. And both we make equal by our response to both should be same. That is what should be equal. The sukha and dukkha are never equal. Sukha is giving a different kind of a feeling and dukkha is giving a different kind of a feeling. So they cannot be. But my response to both, if it is sama, if it is same, if it is equanimous, then I have not set up a relationship with either one of them. And so that's why this Purusha, when identifies, there is a problem. That's why he says that by itself, Prakriti, with the help of Purusha, has created. But there is no problem with the creation. If you really see, you know, seasons are changing. Things just happen because it's Ishwara's creation. There is no problem with the creation. We say, oh, the world is so bad and this and that and everything. But actually, there is no problem. Problem is with us. And the problem arises with my setting up a relationship. So if I stay neutral, if I stay equanimous, if I stay as a witness of whatever that is happening, then I do not create an experiencer, as Gurudev would say that. Okay, so that's what we saw. Now we go ahead. 22. Purusha prakriti sthohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasadyo nijanmasu. Purusha seated in Prakriti experiences the qualities born of Prakriti. Attachment to the qualities is the cause of his birth in good and evil wombs. So those of you who are in the Friday class in Vivek Churamani, we saw verse Swakarma. There is rebirth because of our own karmas. And this is one place where Bhagavan has mentioned in other places also in the Bhagavad Gita, but here. So what he's saying is Purusha experience the qualities born of Prakriti. So experience means what? Means he's becoming the experiencer. Means what? Means he is setting up a relation. The Jiva, which is nothing but Purusha, is setting up a relationship with whatever is happening outside. When that relationship is set up, then this person, this jiva, is becoming the experiencer. It could be a happy experiencer or a sorrowful experiencer. And when it is a happy experiencer, that experience is wanted, is desired to be repeated. That also is there. It's a chain. So this is how it works. There is a situation. Okay, I like it. I somebody invites me for a party and I like it, I enjoy. Now what happens is, I say that, oh, I enjoyed, I liked it. In my mind, I'm thinking, when is the next party? So I've set up a relationship. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to desire that next party. And I'm going to be very happy when I get invited. And if I don't get invited, I'm going to be very sad. Okay. And that desire is now giving rise to action. So I might do something to just get invited. I mean, this is just an example, but any situation that I like and I want to repeat, I'm going to put forth effort to repeat that. And when I keep on putting efforts to repeat what I want, I am creating a vasana for myself in the subtle, at a subtler level. And that vasana is then becoming a blueprint for my further birth. even the sad things, I set up a relationship by saying, this is what did not give me happiness, so I'm running away. The running has to stop. That is what we are doing constantly. We are running towards and we are running away. We are running towards that which we like and which gives us pleasure, which gives us happiness, which we think is happiness. It is not happiness, it's pleasure. And we run away from things that are giving me sorrow. And because of this running, what I'm doing is I'm creating more and more grooves, Gurudev would say. I'm sure quite a few of you know, we used to have records. Now there is CD and now there's USB sticks. But previously, you know, there used to be records. You know that, right? HMV records. And the needle is going around in those grooves. And that's how the song was played. I don't know. I don't think Prem Sai even knows. You know. Good. Okay. Ancient now. It's ancient. Now there's a little USB stick and you, whatever. So Gurudev used to say that needle is, if it keeps on going in the same groove over and over again, you're making the groove deeper and deeper. And that's what we do with our vasanas. I keep going after things that I like. I keep running away from things that I don't like. And I'm going, that needle is going up and round and round, and it's creating more and more grooves. And those grooves in our subtle mind are forming the blueprint of our next birth. And that is why I take birth. Okay. These modifications are happening in Prakriti. If I remain equanimous, if I say, okay, happiness came, okay, just forget about it. Like, that's why every experience is to be experienced and forgotten. Immediately it should be dropped. So whether it's a happy experience or a sad experience, you need to let go. Every moment you have to, that's what's meant by saying live moment to moment. Because maybe yesterday something happened which made you happy or sad, either way. But you don't have to carry it in your mind today. Both have to be dropped. Everything has to be dropped. So if we can do that, we are not deepening the groove. But we don't do that. We carry the happiness in our mind. We carry the sadness in our mind. And then the running begins. And that's what is increasing the groove, the deepening the groove, and then creating vasanas. So karanam guna sangyosya. So this guna here, that is sattva, rajas and tamas. These gunas are modifying, and now I am getting attached. So if it is to inert objects, it's tamasic. If it is to prestige and power, it is rajasic. If it is to people, it is sattvic. No matter which guna it is binding. Even sattva binds. That has to be remembered. Sattva also binds. So we need to go beyond. So then what happens is this birth can be in good and evil wombs. That's what I was telling you. People think, some people have this idea that if I've come in a human birth, I will never go down. That is not correct. You will go down depending on what sort of actions you've performed. Okay. Or you could go up also. Problem is, going up is also, it is not a gate to liberation. Going down is definitely not a gate to liberation. So whether you go up or you go down, so you say that, oh, I'll do good actions and I will get birth and it's okay. You're going up, but there is no liberation from there. So you have to come back to the mortal world here. This is what Bhagwan says. Instead of going up and down, up and down, up and down, just get out of this cycle permanently. If you want to get out of the cycle permanently, then you need to detach from these modifications of Prakriti. You have to know the Kshetra and the Kshetrajna. Okay? That's why Karanam Guna, attachment to the qualities is the cause of his birth and death. Attachment. And attachment is Raga, Dvesha, both. So there is attachment to what I like and there is no attachment to what I don't like. So I'm running away. So idea is to accept whatever comes to us. Whatever situation comes to us, we need to accept it with an equanimous mind. We need to know that this is happening in Kshetra. It has got nothing to do with me. Even though it's happening to my body, it's happening to my body. It's not happening to me. Our thought is it's happening to me. It's happening to me. Now what will happen? Now I will die. Now what will happen to my family? All these things are happening because of identification with the body. So if we can remember this and separate ourselves from that experience, then we are a step in not creating a blueprint for our next birth. And always remember that birth can be up or down. That part should not be forgotten. So that's why Bhagwan says that now, that's why he said, Vivek Chaurasia, this is rare, you got it, now make use of it. That's why we are being told that you have got this human birth by some luck, by some chance it is, whatever luck it is, don't waste it. Don't waste the birth. So at least if we are on this path, then maybe someday we will reach. Now the next verse 23 is giving us different names of the same Purusha. And before I read the verse, or let me read the verse, and then I want to read something from Ramakrishna Paramahansa's messages. This is his autobiography. And at the very end, the last chapter is the teaching in his own words. So I want to read a paragraph from there. Upadrashtanumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwaraha paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin purusha paraha. The supreme Purusha in this body is also called the spectator, the permitter, the supporter, the enjoyer, the great Lord, and the supreme self. And the example that I had thought of, Bhagwan Raman Maharshi has said it, and I thought I may as well just make my life easy. And here he says, God is one. Please remember, listen carefully. Yeah? God is one, but his aspects are many. As the master of a house is father to one, brother to another, and husband to a third, and is called by different names by different persons. So the one God is described in various ways according to the particular aspect in which he appears to his particular worshiper. You get it? There's only one God. And there are many aspects. Like I would have given you the example of myself. If my children are standing here, they're calling me mother. My parents are calling me daughter. My friends are calling me friend. My enemies are calling me enemy. My employee, I'm an employee. I'm an employer. I'm a boss. I'm a servant. All these names. But there is only one person. Same thing this verse is saying. So this Supreme Purusha, so let's see what names, Upadrashta. So one name for this Supreme Purusha. So the Purusha is only one. There are not many Purushas. There is only one, but he's called as Upadrashta. Now in what respect would he be called as Upadrashta? Upas, near. We know Upasana, Upanishad, we have seen the prefix Upa. Upa means near and Drashta means seer. Okay, so sitting near, he sees. This Purusha who is inside this body, he is observing all the changes in the body. And that is what is also called as Sakshi Chaitanya. Sakshi means witness. Sakshat Ikshate Iti Sakshi. The witness is one who witnesses something but never gets involved. So in a court of law, when a witness is asked to testify, he's not supposed to give his opinion. He's just supposed to say, this is what I saw. This guy hit him or that guy hit him or this guy killed him or that guy killed him. That's it. He is not supposed to. So this Upadrashta, at one point, he's a Sakshi. Okay, within us, this Purusha is a Sakshi. Now, how does he remain a Sakshi is when we don't get involved in whatever is happening in our body and with the outside world. Then I'm a Sakshi. I witnessed. Okay, body has got some disease. Okay, I'm the witness. Body has got the disease. Whatever is to be, what it is not saying don't do treatment to your body. Okay, that is not the point. The point is to understand that I am not getting the disease. I am witnesser of the disease. I'm witnessing the disease in my body. I'm witnessing the hair going gray. I'm witnessing the eyes going weak. I'm witnessing, I'm the witness principle. And at that point, if I say that, then this Purusha is Upadrashta. Okay? Just like if there's children, they'll call me mother. One example, right? But if there is my parents, they're going to call me daughter. Now, next one, Anumanta. So if I remain as a witness principle to whatever that is happening around me, then I'm Upadrashta. Then, only then, okay? Otherwise, Anumanta. Anumanta, permitter. Permitter of bless, the one who blesses. So who is the one who blesses? You know, I was thinking about, for an example, and I thought, okay, you have a child and the child has just got a license to drive, just got a fresh license. And he says, Mom, can I have the car keys tonight? I want to drive your car. I want to take your car. And then you have enough confidence in your son or daughter, or whatever. And you say, sure, son, here are the keys. So what you have done is you have blessed, you have permitted that child to drive. You're the permitter, Anumanta. Same way in our body, it is because of the blessings of this Purusha that this body can speak, can talk, can move hands, can do whatever, right? So this Purusha, blessing means what? It's because of this Purusha that this body can move. That is the blessing. It's like, because I give the keys to my son can drive. So it's my car and it's my keys, and I have a right to say no, but Anumanta is one who will bless anything. So that's why when the body or the mind wants to do something, he says, Tathasu, you want to do, you do. It's like the sun. The sun will shine. It's the job of the sun to give sunlight, and it will go on giving sunlight whether there is a bad thing happening or a good thing happening in the world. So the sun will bless both good and bad. Because the sun is giving light. It's not saying that I'm going to withhold my sunlight because you're planning a robbery, a theft. Or I'm going to give you bright light because you're having a satsang. So that way, the sun is both Upadrashta and Anumanta. Because it is a witness to whatever is happening. In that sense, it is Upadrashta. And it is Anumanta because only in that sunlight can people act that way. Okay, so Anumanta, the permitter or the blesser, the one who blesses. And the one who blesses is this Purusha. So when the body is acting, doing something, then this Purusha is known as Anumanta. That because of the blessing of that Purusha, which is within the body, that's why a dead body cannot speak. Simple. Dead body doesn't even complain when you set fire to it. Try setting fire to a live human being. Then see what happens, right? So that is known as Anumanta. Bharata is the supporter. Supporter, we just saw in Vivek Charamani that the body is made up of the five elements. So to hold these five elements together, what is required is a support. And that support is also provided by the Purusha in the form of Chidabhasa. The reflection is happening in the subtle body, and that subtle body is what is enlivening and holding this gross body together. And that's why we say that when the subtle body departs, when the subtle body leaves the gross body, we call the gross body as dead. The subtle body never dies, it only leaves. Jivatma only leaves. Body dies, gross body dies. So the thing that is keeping, supporting the body to be alive is Bharata. That time the Purusha is called as Bharata. He's the supporter of this body. I also told you that the body is made up of the five elements. Even if one element leaves the body cannot survive. So all the five elements have to be held in place. When that is happening, the same Purusha is known as Bharata. And then the same Purusha becomes a Bhokta. Bhokta is an experiencer when he identifies with the body and with the situation outside. So he only becomes Bhokta. There is only one Purusha. There is only one person. Like Dairi said, the master of the house is only one. But somebody is calling him father, somebody is calling him husband, somebody is calling him brother, somebody is calling him master of the house, somebody is calling something else, right? It's one person. So all these names belong only to that Supreme Purusha who is dwelling in this body, okay? And when it's me only, like not me means now, I'm not the body, I'm this Upadrashta, this Purusha, this Jiva. So when the Jiva remains in a Sakshi position, in a witness position, he will be called as Upadrashta. When he blesses, the mind has a thought and then he says, okay, fine, go ahead, do it, Anumanta. What is holding this body and mind together is the Bharta. And what is then, I become happy or I become sad with all these situations outside, then I am a Bhokta. I only become all these different roles in different situations. Okay. Maheshwaraha is Mahaishwara, the same Purusha who is Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta and Bhokta in the body is the Mahaishwara, means not only that he is in your body, all these four things, but it is the same in all bodies. Maheshwara, Ishwara, okay? Ishwara and then Mahaishwara. Ishwara is there within us. That's why Jiva, Ishwara, also there is Aikya. There's no difference between Jiva and Ishwara. Tattvamasi is, that is the Mahavakya, right? Tattvamasi or Aham Brahmasmi. So, but Mahaishwara means understand that this Upadrashta within you or Anumanta within you or Bharta within you or Bhokta within you is the same in all the people. And not only all the people, all the animals and plants and stones and everything, Maheshwara. And then this same Maheshwara is Param Atmeti. It is the Param Atma, Supreme Atma, Supreme Self, Supreme Brahman, Supreme Reality. This is the Asi principle. I told you this chapter begins in, this is the inauguration of, from Tattvam Asi. Asi, this is the inauguration of Asi, that thou art. So this is what is it is telling us. That so if you go backwards, first of all, there is this Paramatma, which is the Supreme Self. Then it becomes Ishwara. How does it become Ishwara? When it invokes Maya, when Maya or Prakriti is invoked, he's called as Ishwara. It's the same thing. There's no difference. Then this creation happens. Then in the creation, bodies are created and the same Ishwara enters all the bodies. That's why Mahaishwara enters all. In the body, he can remain as a witness. He can. If I have this knowledge, I will remain as a witness. So he can remain as a witness. Or he can remain as the one blessing. So whatever the mind wants to do and the body is allowed to do, he's blessing. He says, okay, you want to do, you do. So the blessing. And we have to understand that he is the one that is holding the body together. Because if he departs, and Bharta, that's why I told you, Bharta is not Baingan ka Bharta, but Bharta, don't think it's the reflection of consciousness, which is called as Chidabhasa. Reflection of consciousness in the subtle body is Bharta. That is what is holding all these elements together, and the body is in one piece. And when the Bharta leaves, then what happens? Body dies. Then there is death to the body. So that's why we say he's the Bharta. He's supporting. So as long as his support is there, your body is alive. So do things, good things, because you never know when that Bharta is going to leave. You don't know when the subtle body will depart from the gross body. And then when this same Bharta gets involved with all the situations, oh, I'm happy because there's sunshine, but today there is rain, so I'm sad. And then I slipped and fell, or I got wet, or some car went by, and then my clothes got dirty, you know, splashed water, all this thing, I'm upset, and I do. Then he's becoming Bhokta, the experiencer. Okay. Now, he concludes. So for us, the idea, okay, we'll see the next verse and then we'll take these two verses together again. Ya evam veti purusham prakrutim cha gunai saha sarvatha vartamanopi nasabhuyo bhijayate. He who thus knows the purusha and prakriti, please understand, together with the qualities, in whatsoever condition he may be, he is not born again. Means what? He realizes. What is not getting a birth again? Videha Mukti. That is what Videha Mukti is. So not getting birth again. And when does he not get? When he knows the difference between Purusha and Prakriti. And this knowing, please understand, this is not an intellectual understanding only. It is a realization of who I really am. That I am something other than this Prakriti. So the modifications that are happening in Prakriti have got nothing to do with me. They are happening because of me. I am a witness of that modification. I am the one who is blessing that modification. I am the one that is supporting that modification. And I am the one that do not want to be an experiencer of that modification. This is what has to be realized. Intellectually, we know it. So what we do is we know it intellectually. We show it in our behavior by remaining equanimous in all situations. Ya evam veti purusham vidhatu, to know. But this knowing is not an intellectual knowing, because intellectual knowing, even we know that just knowing this much is not going to free us from the birth, next birth. So what we have to start doing as a practice, so this upadrashta anumanta bharta bhokta, we are a bhokta right now, right? Because we don't have this knowledge, or we don't have enough of this knowledge. So I'm a bhokta, I'm an experiencer. Okay, so every time there is a happy situation, I become happy. When there is a sad situation, I become sad. So that is what I am. From there, I need to go to bharta. Okay, so from there, I should come to realize, come to know that I am supporting this change. I am the one because of which this change is happening. Think about it. If this purusha is not in the body, it's a dead body. And do any body, does the dead body grow, or dead body becomes fat or thin or whatever? So from bhokta, go to bharta. That's the steps. Right now I'm the experiencer. Please come to understand that I am not the experiencer. I am the one supporting the experience. And then from there you go to anumanta. I am the one who is permitting the experience to happen. Whatever experience is happening is because of this chidabhasa, this anumanta. So I am the one who is blessing. And then you graduate to let me be just a witness of whatever is happening. This is how you go backwards. Because that's where we are at right now, bhokta. And once we know that this upadrashta is Sakshi Chaitanya, I am that Sakshi Chaitanya, then it will be very easy for you to understand that I am that Supreme Lord. Not only that I am a Sakshi Chaitanya of this body, I am the Sakshi Chaitanya in all bodies. That step is to know the Supreme Reality. That step is realization. That step is what is going to free you from the cycle of birth and death. When you realize, come to realize that step, final step, there will be no more birth again. From upadrashta up to upadrashta, are there any questions? Or is people getting confused? Anybody getting confused?
I am confused.
You are, oh Lord, no, not you, Abhimanyu.
Because I never thought the Supreme will enjoy, be the enjoyer.
So who do you think the enjoyer is?
The Jiva Atma, when mm-hmm. the two are together, but I mm-hmm. never thought the Atma would be the enjoyer.
But the enjoyer is Jivatma, you're saying, right?
When the ego is the sentiency enlivens the ego.
Correct.
Yes. All along they told us that Paramatma does not, is just a witness. I understand up to there. But when you say he's an enjoyer as well, I'm confused about that.
Okay. If you say that there is this Paramatma and this enjoyer is something other, then what are you doing?
No. The enjoyer is the ego.
Yes, correct. So who is the ego now? Go deeper into your own inquiry. You go deeper. What is the ego?
I may not be able to answer that question. However, why? All along we are told that Paramatma is just a witness. He never enjoys or is sad or anything like that. So that's why I'm confused about it.
Welcome to Higher Vedanta, Abhimanyu. Welcome to subtler. This is subtle aspects. This, you probably you've heard this verse in a yajna setting.
Yes, I have.
there's no way that I'm going to say all these things in a yajna setting. There'll be total confusion. The idea is, what you have to understand is, see, first thing you have to understand that there is actually nothing other than the supreme reality. There is actually no, that is what I was, that point I was going to now explain. So now listen carefully, okay? Now I'm going to go even more deeper. So what did I tell you right now? What do I think? I'm the enjoyer, right? Experiencer, right? And your confusion is that now I have said that the same enjoyer is the supreme reality. And that's where the confusion is, right?
Well, because I've heard that the supreme reality does not enjoy.
Even I have told that to people in the new classes. Please. I also was told the same thing. But you have to graduate. You have to go up. You have to go subtler. You have to go deeper.
I'd like to.
Okay. So I am an enjoyer right now. Because I'm becoming happy and I'm becoming sad with different situations. From there, this enjoyer only has to understand. See, there is only one ego, right? That ego only has to go through different stages. It's like, you know, there is a child. Say, you know, the person is born in a family. Okay, fine. Then that child grows up. Then that child graduates from school or college or whatever, and then starts working. So that child has to now understand that I am an employee and I need to work under certain circumstances. Then he gets married. So then that person has to understand that now I'm a husband. So now there is more responsibility on me. It's a gradual process. Then that child will get then that man or woman will get a child. You know, now there is more responsibility. Not only I'm a husband or a wife, I'm also a father or a mother. So now there is more responsibility. So this is how you have to go up the ladder. You're alone right now. So this is what you do. Where am I right now? I am at the stage of bhokta. I'm enjoying, right? Experiencing. This bhokta, this is what the verse is telling us. This bhokta, understand it to be the supporter of the, I think I'm the experiencer. That is what I think. That is delusion. That is deluded thinking. I have to correct my delusion. I have to correct my thinking by going one step further, because suddenly you cannot go to I'm enjoyer and now I'm supreme reality. That is not possible. That's not possible. So steps are given. So from bhokta, I am not the experiencer. I'm the one that is supporting the experience. And then I only am the one that is blessing, is allowing this experience to happen. And then you go, I am the one that is witnessing the experience. So I have even graduated from support also I've graduated from. So I am only witnessing this experience is happening in Prakriti, and I am only the witness of this Prakriti. And you know what the final step is? There is no Prakriti only I am.
I know, like, I understand that part.
Then that is the part. The supreme reality only is functioning as different things. And yes, the ego, when you say ego, it is connecting, it is relating. Yes, Kalpana, you have a question? You have to unmute.
Okay. So in another class, we heard that, can you hear me?
It's kind of muffled.
Faintly.
Okay, hang on here. Let's try it this way.
Yeah, tell me.
So in another class, when you were explaining that the reflection of the sun in the bucket, mm-hmm. is water. Mm-hmm. So the reflection is what forms all of us. So we are mm-hmm. all reflections of the sun. Mm-hmm. So now when you say the reflection, mm-hmm. is that what we're talking about, where we're saying that it's the ego plus the enjoyer of our body? Is that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. It is the reflection who is the bhokta. The reflection has to understand that it is not only the bhokta, or it is not the bhokta, but it is the bharta, the supporter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And because the reflection is there, the body can function. So it is right. It is blessing. Reflection is what is blessing us to act.
Yes.
The very fact that I'm speaking tells you and tells me that there is this reflection happening in my subtle body. If that reflection was not there, there's no way that I'm going to speak.
Yeah, because you always need God's portion in you to be able to do anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
But you have to understand that this is not just God's portion. It is God.
Yes.
Yes. And when you understand that, finally, when you understand that, what will happen is when you realize that you are the supporter of this entire world, this prakriti will, for you, it will be dissolved. Not physically dissolved. I told you, the world is not going anywhere for anybody, whether it's a realized master or whatever it is.
So is that what is meant when some of the realized souls say that they see God in everyone, that they
Correct.
Really see the God.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And we saw that even in chapter 12, where I told you that the devotee who has an Ishta Devata, he only sees his Ishta Devata everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Same idea.
Thank you.
Jayaji?
Yes.
At this time, because you're saying bhokta as a bhokta, so what we are doing is just because of our delusion or ignorance, we think that we are the one experiencing, but it's the step that we have to go further down to say that this is the it's in us, but we just cannot function that way.
Yeah.
Or we don't understand that yet.
We don't, yeah. That's why this knowledge.
Okay.
That is what is meant by ya evam veti purusham. The one who knows this Purusha as being only the Upadrashta,
mm-hmm.
only a Sakshi, only a witness. He comes very close to realization that I am only a witness principle. And then finally, as long witness and supreme reality is the same. What is the difference is when I say witness, I am giving reality to Prakriti. Because when I say witness, what is being witnessed? Comes the question.
Mm-hmm.
The witness and the supreme reality are one and the same, but when I use the word upadrashta, I am giving reality to the prakriti. And the next step is to negate prakriti totally, so that witness position is lost. It has to be lost. Witness position has to be lost because there should be nothing being witnessed. Because when you say witness, there is something which is being witnessed. So that's why that is the next step. But Sakshi is very, very close to supreme reality. So if I can remain, so in my practice, in my day-to-day practice, if I can remain as a witness principle to everything that is happening to my body, to my mind, to my, you know, our people around me and situations around me, if I can remain in that witness principle's state, I'm coming very close to the supreme reality. And that is very, very difficult to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, if I realize that, then there is no birth for me.
Thank you.
Okay. Jayaji, yeah. Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, yes.
From the witness principle, what effort has to be put in to become, to realize? So you said witness is principle.
Suppose you reach the witness principle, stay there. Stay there.
Just stay there.
Stay there.
And you will automatically get realized?
Yeah.
Oh.
Automatic. It's stay there. Now the methods of realization are coming in the next from 25 onwards. So mm-hmm. I will stop here for today. There is a question that I want to answer. Rashmi, you had a question. So from 25 onwards are the methods of realization, but that is one method. So if you can stay as a sakshi of everything, we tend to get involved in everything if we can stay as a witness. So so far so good. We will revise our yes Raj, you have a question.
Kabirji said, Kabirji Bhakt Kabir
हाँ
प्रेम जरोखे बैठ के जग का मुजरा देख जस्ट बिटरनेस
Just witness, prey. Yeah.
The prey of the world, whatever is happening.
Yeah, whatever is happening. All the saints will say
don't
that.
Don't get involved into that.
Correct.
So that's when you become that.
Correct. When Purusha, you get involved, you become the bhokta. You fall. You fall from that position of witness.
Yeah.
Sant Tukaram in Marathi has said, tuka mhane ugi rahave je je hote te te pahave. So tuka mhane, tuka means Tukaram. So they always address themselves by name, not like I say. So tuka mhane. So Tukaram says, ugi rahave. Ugi rahave means silent. Keep quiet. Je je hote te te pahave. So whatever is happening, you just see. Je je hote means whatever is happening around you. Te te pahave. Pahave means you see. Keep quiet and you keep watching. Keep quiet. Don't open your mouth. Open your mouth. You set up a relation. I don't like this. Relationship set. I like that. Relationship set. No matter what you say, like or dislike, both is setting up the relationship, and that is what is causing rebirth. Okay.
And any further questions? Guru Gobind Singh said the same thing.
They are he all.
Said, hai, akal purakh ke dasa, dekhna hai jagat tamasha.
Correct.
That's what we just witnessed. Yeah. It.
The world is a drama. Just watch. Just watch.
Don't get involved.
Don't get involved. Don't get involved. Yes, correct. The question is, what is the difference between Videha Mukti and Jivan Mukti? Videha Mukti, Videha is Mukti, liberation after death, death of the physical body. I think in one of the classes, Mohini had said that you have to die first before you die afterwards or whatever. So the dying first is of the ego. And when the ego dies and the body is living, ego can die, but the body will live. And when that body falls, then there is definitely mukti, a liberation. So that's Videha Mukti. Jivan Mukti is liberation while living. Jivan Mukti is a higher state than Videha Mukti. But Jivan Mukti cannot be achieved until Videha Mukti is achieved. So Videha Mukti is the first step. Jivan Mukti is the next step. So Videha Mukti is when Tattva Jnana happens. What is Tattva Jnana? Yah Eti Veti Purusham. This is this verse that we saw, last verse. When you completely understand the difference between Purusha and Prakriti, and also you come to realize yourself to be Purusha. Right now, we think we are Prakriti. Please remember that. When I say I'm the body, I'm thinking I'm Prakriti because I say, oh, my body is getting old and my body is getting tired and this and this and this, and I'm the body. I'm considering myself as Prakriti. So that's why the discrimination between Purusha and Prakriti is extremely essential. That is what this chapter is doing the discrimination between Purusha and Prakriti, which is the highest definition of Viveka given by Bhagavan Shankaracharya. That is Nitya Anitya Viveka. So this Nitya Anitya Viveka we are doing. So we do this vichara, this inquiry, and come to realize that I am the Nitya. That's the problem. I think I'm Anitya. So once you come to realize, there is Videha Mukti, immediate Videha Mukti, because Bhagwan himself said that you will not be born again. Now, the thing with that is I get a glimpse of that. I come to know that I'm Purusha, but that doesn't guarantee a complete burning of the vasanas. So what happens is, I know I'm Purusha, I know I'm not Prakriti, I have realized I'm Purusha, but my vasanas still remain. So if I have a vasana of getting angry, I will get angry. So what some realized masters, what they want to do is, they know they have achieved Videha Mukti. They know they're like, after the body falls, there is no more birth for them. They know that for sure, but they want to enjoy that free, they want that freedom from their own vasanas, negative vasanas, which are still there. So what they do is they engage in the practice of samadhi. It's like, you know, you go for a driving test, you learn driving, to go to driving school, learn driving, you go, you get a license. That license does not mean that you are an expert. Does it? You have gone to driving school, you have learned the rules, you have given your whatever knowledge test or whatever test, and then you did your road test and they handed you a license. They said you have passed. Do you think that you are an expert driver? Just getting the, no. Only thing is you can drive on your own, basically. Even now I think there is a graduated, but forget that. So you get a proper license, you can drive on your own, but you are not an expert. So that is the step of Videha Mukti, that you have got Tattva Jnana and you will not be born again, guaranteed. But then you want to become an expert. So what would you do? You would go on driving again and again. How do you become an expert in driving? Not just by reading books anymore or reading, oh, at the stop sign, I should stop and red light, I should stop and I should not jump in speed and all that. That is not what is going to give you the expertise in driving. It is actual physical driving that is going to give you the expertise. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the car out every day, every day, every day, and then become an expert. So what these people do is they go into samadhi as much as possible. And they remain in that samadhi as much as they can. And they then come to a stage of samadhi where all the vasanas get burned. All of them in this life itself. And then they become what is known as Paramhansa yogis. That's the highest. And that is Jivan Mukti. Where there is not a trace of vasanas. And we see this description in Bhikshu Gita. That is where we will, if we study Bhikshu Gita, it's a very, this thing. Anyway, so that is what is the difference between Videha Mukti and Jivan Mukti. So Videha Mukti is first, Jivan Mukti is next. And people strive for Jivan Mukti. Example, if you want, is Raman Maharshi, Bhagwan Raman Maharshi. He gained Videha Mukti at home when he was 16 years old. He was Videha Mukta at that point. When he left home, he already had Videha Mukti. But he wanted Jivan Mukti. So he went off. And that's what people do. People who get Videha Mukti, they have a choice. They can remain in the sansar and they can propagate the knowledge and everything. Or they just leave and go and they're like, this world is a dream anyway, so why should I try and improve it? Let me just go get Jivan Mukti. That's what they do.
Okay. And so their prarabdhas are still there?
Prarabdha, the body is there. Prarabdha is to the body. It is not to Purusha. Prarabdha is to Prakriti. Raman Maharshi had surgery. Paramhans, Bhagwan Ramakrishna Paramhans had cancer, right? So that is the body.
Can I ask you? Question, please.
Yeah. Who's speaking?
It's Mohini.
Yeah.
Thing is that when you say not to get involved, once you realize to that situation and try not to get involved into things, world around you, does it mean that you are acting, but not to take the doership? Or is it that not to do anything at all?
Okay, the first thing that what I said, not to get involved, is for us.
Yeah.
Not for the realized master.
No, I know. I realize that.
Okay.
But yeah.
So you're saying not get involved means should you not do your worship?
Not just worship. Anything around you, just watch. Just like you said, that you see the accident and when you realize that it is closer, then you get more affected. Suppose I don't get affected, but still, does it mean that I should not act?
No, you can act without getting affected.
Or without taking the doership.
You can act and at that time consider yourself to be an instrument of the Lord. That you are there at that point to see the accident and maybe you want to call 911. Okay. And yes, you should do that. Acting is there. Acting will be there. See, there is two things. There is one is acting and one is involvement. Involvement, there is a physical involvement. Action is physical involvement. And what the involvement we are talking about is a mental involvement.
Not to get upset or not.
So you do your actions.
Not to lose your sleep on that.
Correct. Okay. Your mind should not. get affected. Okay. All right, Rashmi, you're okay with the?
Yes, I will contemplate on that. Okay.
All right. So the Tapo Fest, Tapo Gita Fest has started. What I wanted to let everybody know, today, this morning was the introduction to the second chapter. Very beautiful essence of the second chapter has been done. Swami Chidrupananda, I saw him for the first time. He's posted in Noida, Delhi. What I want to tell you also is that Swami Advaitananda, who is my acharya, under whom I studied, he has done the relevance, a talk on the relevance of Bhagavad Gita. He did it yesterday. So it's on YouTube, but it's in Hindi. Unfortunately, it's in Hindi. So those of you who understand Hindi, please watch that, because he has detailed, he has given a